to come together to fellowship around the revelation of this hour, Lord. We appreciate, Lord, your presence, your mercy and grace upon us. And Lord, each one that's here, we ask your blessing upon them. Lord, each one that's not able to be, we ask you would bless them, strengthen them. Be with Brother Goomba, Lord, as he ministers there in Kenya. Lord, wherever you would lead him and guide him, and may you just bless every effort, Lord, and stir every heart. Lord, we know that we are in a great, great hour, a great time in this revelation, Lord, and the manifestation of your bride upon the earth. Lord, it stirs our hearts as we think about it, Lord, and we look on the things that are being done. And Lord, may you just help us daily to surrender, Lord, that you might have the full preeminence in every heart, every life. For we ask these things humbly in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You can be seated. We are happy to be here this morning, and we trust that all is well.
We're having a little bit of a mic problem, volume problem. I'm not sure if that is. We'll figure it out.
Benjamin has texted in, and Shiko has texted in and saying that there's a little bit of issue there. But she also said she thought maybe my mic was activated.
When it did the update, it swapped the feeds around.
Okay.
So I thought I had me on and you muted, and it was reversed.
Okay. So yeah. So that's what it did. Okay. So, anyways, we thank God and for this this that we have. It's a great blessing, and I don't know how many of you remember how we did it 40 years ago. Some of you aren't 40 yet, but we didn't have these, and we didn't have these. And when the recording started, it was on a wire. It was on a wire reel. And it was just staticky. It was constantly staticky. Brother, I think you might have had some of those. And then it came along, went to different things, but it came up to the cassette. And when it got to the cassette, that's how the messages went out for many, many years. It was recorded in the church on a cassette, and then we sent it to India to the ones there and the ones here that in America that wanted to hear the message. And Brother Branham's messages went the same way. But the local messages were coming. They came out by the cassette, and that's the way it traveled. And it was that way for a long time. And then when they changed to the disc, I didn't get it. I didn't think it was necessary. I thought the tapes working just fine, but there was a better quality. But I think there was a better quality because by that time the tapes had increased so much and the filterization had advanced so much that actually they had made the cassettes. They had filtered them and they were excellent. They were of an excellent quality. And but anyways, all of that, here we are way down the road. And there's so much is happening in this late hour, and that not just in the spiritual side. Of course, sometimes we say, well, in the politics and in this and in that, but all of it comes back to the spiritual, because all of that is fulfilling this. All of that is just bringing home what God said would happen. And so I want to welcome Sister Edith and Sister Amanda back. We miss them, and we thank the Lord. He gave them a good journey, a good time, and so we're glad that they're here. And we want to continue to remember Brother Goomba. He's ministering there, and just for the family and in all things. And now I want to say something, and I told my wife, I said that. You know, I've spent a little bit of time talking about some politics and stuff, and I found out a lot of people don't keep up with it. And so at first I felt kind of a little bit like, I'm wasting my time. You know, I'm off of the word, but it's related to the word. And so it always relates back to the word. And so I thought that it might be good just to mention a few things along, and I'm going to try not to take much time. I'm going to try to limit myself as we go along, maybe 3 to 5 minutes, and not take a bunch of time. But I do want to bring up some things. And right now, of course, there's a big battle that's fixing to begin. There's kind of a little utopia. Is that the word, utopia? They're on the conservative side. They're so excited. This is like a dynamic duo. They got Musk and Ramaswamy and all of these other ones, which will, I'm sure they'll do a really, really good job. And they're very good at what they do. I mean, there's a lot of common sense people that he's putting in there, experienced people. There's too many people in the leadership that have never been in the military. There's too many people that are deciding whether we go to battle or go to war, and they've never been in a war. They've never been in the trenches. They've never shot the gun. They never got shot at. And when you have men that are in there making the decisions who have been in the trenches and have been shot at and don't want to have a war unless it's absolutely necessary, there's a big difference there. And when you have men that know how to budget, and the waste now is so bad, it's so pathetic, it's just terrible, now they've got men in there that have a proven track record that can do it. And so I'm saying all of that to say this. We know America's gone. We know she sold her birthright in 1956. In 1956, she sold out. And Brother Branham said, all nations have forfeited the word of God. They forfeited. And so, but this really looks good for the nation. It really looks good. And so, and when I say those things, I want you to always be conscious of the fact that there's no Christians up there. There's no Christians in politics. Nominal, maybe yes, but as far as I know, there's not a real, true, born-again believer in any of it. And so when I'm talking about that this one will be good for this or this good for that, I'm talking about the natural side of it. I'm talking about the country. But I told my wife yesterday, I think it was yesterday, we were talking, and I said, you know, they're all excited right now. So if you remember, the scripture said, when they say peace, peace. Amen. When they say peace, peace. Now, we got it all now. We got the House. We got the Senate. We got the presidency. We got all that. We're going to fix everything now. It's going to all be good. And that's all great. I hope they do it. I hope they do it. But when they get to thinking that everything's peace, peace, everything's good, everything's, he said, then cometh sudden destruction. And so it's on its way. Nothing's going to change it. If we go through a good time here in the economy, or we go through a good time in getting this junk out of the schools, it's in the schools, the DEI out of the military, and this other stuff, that's all great. That's all wonderful. But we know the spiritual condition, and that's what we don't never want to forget. If we look at something here that's happening that maybe it looks good for the economy or something, that's great. I'm happy for it. But we know the revelation. We know what is truth. Now, we want to get it right into the message now. This is part 13, and I'm just realizing this morning that we're just about halfway through this message, Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed, and of course it's because I'm sidetracking here and there and bringing in some other things in with it that kind of back up this and that. And so we certainly won't finish it before we go to Kenya, but we will pick it up at some point in time. And now I put some extra scriptures in here. I put the whole chapter, the sixth chapter of John, in here, but I'm not going to start until verse 25. And because I think there's like 60 something verses in there, so I'm not going to read them all, but I put them in there for you to read them. And then also, if you I put in there, if you want to read chapter 5 and chapter 6, that we're going to read out of chapter 6 this morning, but you can read those two chapters and some really good things. In chapter 6 here, he's laying the background for what he's going to say in verse 25. So let's start right there and come down, see what the Lord would have for us. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And I want you to think about the words that's being said. Okay? They found him. He was having those meetings there, and he fed the multitude, and he did all the things. So they were eating. They were getting the free food. They were getting the blessings. They were getting all of those things. And so then he went up in the mountains, and they went and got on the ship. And so the people are watching. The people are watching. So they get on the ship, and they go across the sea. And so the next day they can't find him. And so they know the disciples have left. So he comes later. That's when he comes walking on the water, and he meets them in the boat there, and then they're here. And so that's what you'll get in the first 25 verses. So when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Now think about this. Now this, to me, this is what happens when you come into the presence of the Word. Because they were, of course, they were looking for him. Of course, they wanted to see him. They wanted more of what he had to offer. And so they're making conversation with him. And so, and this made me think sometimes we can do the same thing. I thought myself, how many times have I done this? I'm just talking just to talk to somebody, to say something, and maybe it's not really what's my heart. And this is not really what's their heart. They're saying, oh, Lord, how'd you get over here? What you doing? Like they care. And this is the Word that they've come into the presence of. And the Word is going to do one thing. It's going to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And so he doesn't address them, oh, I walked on the water, oh, I did this, or I did that. No, he don't talk about none of that. He says, the reason that you come. He went straight to what they had in their heart. Because that's what he's revealing. That's what they should have done. That's what we should do. We should just go right straight to what's in the heart and just speak that thing. And so, but anyways, he said, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. That's right. See, they knew that their fathers had ate that manna for 40 years in the wilderness. They didn't have to work for it. They didn't have to plow. They didn't have to harvest. They didn't have to do anything. They just walked out every morning and they picked it up off the ground and they ate, and that was it. So that left them a lot of time on their hands. And when you have a lot of time on your hands, then you can get into mischief. And that's what they did. That's what we're going to read this morning. What did the scripture say? It said that they slept, that they ate, they slept, and they rose up and played. That's what they did. So, and we read that's what they did when they met Balaam and Balak there on the way. That was what they did. And that's the same thing they did. And I got the scripture here. That's the same thing they did when Moses was on the mountain. When Moses was on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments, they've just left. They've just left. Here, he leaves them there and he goes up and he's getting the Word of God. He's getting the revelation from God. And immediately, they go into idol worship. That's what they make a golden calf, and immediately they're going away. And these are the people that had just walked through the Red Sea. Think about it. Think of the supernatural. Think of the powerful things, the anointing that was upon every one of them. There is no way that God parted that water and dried the ground, and they're walking through there and feeling like they do every other day. Oh no, there was an anointing upon them. There was the hair was standing up on their neck. There was a powerful, a realization that of what's happening here has never happened in the history of the world. We're partaking of something. God is doing something for us. We're special.
Amen.
And then they go right into idolatry.
Right.
It's, There's only one way to understand it. It all comes back to the seed. It all comes back to that predestinated seed. It don't matter how much supernatural you see. It don't how much power of God you see. It don't matter how much anointing you have on you. Don't matter how many people you pray for and they're healed, or you prophesy and it comes to pass. None of that. None of that amounts to anything unless that seed of God is inside you and living, alive, quickened, and manifesting the word of the age that you live in. Praise be to God. There was only two of them. There was only two of them that crossed over. There was three of them that were seed, original seed. But there was only two of them that crossed over. God took Moses, and the rest, there they were. And what did he say? 24,000 died in one day. In one day. See? And Brother Branham said in the church ages, it was the same thing. What did they do in Balaam's day? They rose up to play. What did he say it was? They were playing in their creeds and their traditions. They were playing in their dogmas. They were playing in the traditions. They were playing around that idol worship. And he said, that's what they did in the church ages. So it was the same thing. God would do something, and then they would go right back and go into death. It was absolutely death. That's what it was. When they rejected what Luther had, or even those that accepted what Luther had, and then Luther goes off the scene, there was the revelation. They had it. They had it. And then, but the revelation is not stagnant. The revelation doesn't lay there and stop. It hasn't stopped since Brother Branham went off the scene. This thing has continued because Brother Branham said, there's only one thing wrong with the message today. Only one thing. And he said, that is the people has to lay in the presence of the Son to mature, to ripen, to make that thing alive and real and living. It has to come to maturity. And so the revelation that he spoke is in the bride, and it is continually maturing and maturing and maturing. Whatever you were 10 years ago, you're way beyond that today. Whatever your revelation level was 10 years ago, you're way beyond that today. And tomorrow, it'll be growing. It'll continue to grow. He will continue to unfold himself. The very things that he spoke, Brother M said, it still lays in the supernatural element. And it'll always be there. And you can read it and read it and read it. And you won't get it all at one time. You'll continue to get it as he allows you to get it. But you can be sure the more time you spend in there, the more you're going to get. The less time you spend in there, the less you're going to get. The more time you spend in there, the closer you're going to get to him. And the less time you spend in there, the farther you're going to be from him. It wasn't just the Old Testament, it was the New Testament. The same thing was taking place. They ate, they slept, they ate, and they rose up to play. That's what they did. That's what they're doing today. That's where the message churches are today. They sleep, they eat, they raise up and play. I want to read this in the Old Testament because this is one of the places. I think we read on Wednesday night, I think we read in Balaam's day, where the scripture was saying the same thing. In Exodus 32:6, and they rose up early on the morrow, and they offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink, and they rose up to play. That's exactly right. And Brother Branham said, that's where it goes to. That's where it goes to. They're going to do something, and Satan's going to lead them right into it. That's what they did while Moses was on the mountain. They did exactly the same thing, and they went right straight into idolatry. This is in 1 Corinthians. Now, let me not even comment on it. Yeah, I am going to comment on it. We're reading from John chapter 6. And I'm stopping in the middle of that chapter and reading other places. But it fits in right there. And that's the reason I do that. I like it when it hits that thought. I like to back up that thought just to witness to it. And so I'm going to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, about 5 verses, I think. So, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They were all baptized. Who? Our fathers. Paul is pointing them back and saying, listen, I want to remind you, they all passed through. They all passed through. Now, and they were baptized. But they didn't get wet. All right? The scripture says they crossed over on dry land. But this is saying that they were baptized, see, in the cloud and in the sea as they were passed over. They were partakers of this revelation, of this manifestation of God. They were partakers. They were baptized in it. They were immersed into it. And that's what the word baptized means, dip. And that's why he was called John the Dipper. John the Baptist is John the Dipper. He dipped them in the water. And so, but in the Greek, there's two words. There's two words, baptism. And the word for spirit baptism and water baptism, it's the same word. And then the other word is just a slight variation, but it is, it speaks to, well, one of the scriptures, there's about three scriptures I think that it goes to. One of them is in Revelations where his vesture was dipped in blood. And so that's one. Another one was where he dipped his finger in something. And so that was the difference. And they actually give, this is really interesting, in both of those definitions in the Greek lexicon, both of them give the same analogy of a man 200 years before Christ, and he's using the analogy of putting up pickling, pickles or cucumbers or whatever. And one stage of it is that you boil it in water and you put the cucumber in there in the boiling water to wash it. And so it doesn't change it. But then you put it in the vinegar. The other side of that is, the second part of that is, you put it in the vinegar and it changes it. It actually changes it. It changes its nature, its taste, it changes everything about it. And so that they use that analogy in the lexicon for that word baptism. And so, which is interesting when you look at it. And they acknowledge that in the New Testament, more times when it's talking about baptism, it's talking about the spiritual baptism. It's talking about the one that's going to change you. Not just the water, but the thing that's going to change your life. Verse 2 here, and we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. So that manna, was that spiritual or was that literal? Paul is putting this in the spiritual. And he's saying they all eat the same spiritual meat. They also was eating the natural meat. And they did all drink the same spiritual rock. For they drink of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. And with many of them, God was not well pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. And now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. See? Neither be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. And neither let us commit fornications, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 3,000. Now, I put Numbers 25 in there because we read it on Wednesday night. And so just sidetracking again here. But Brother Branham said in the message, he said, 42,000 of them died in one day. And we read in the Old Testament where 24,000 of them died in one day. And now in the New Testament, it says 23,000 of them died in one day. And that's enough for some people to have contradiction in the Bible. That's enough for some people to not believe. Brother Branham was simply a slip of speech where he changed the four and the two and got them backwards. Here, you just have to read the scripture. You say, well, if God made the Bible perfect, it is perfect. But things are said sometime and you don't know why. If it might be said to throw somebody off. It might be said to make them think whatever. But if you, here's Numbers 25. Let's just read this. Okay, 1 Corinthians 10:8. Let's read that again. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fail in one day 23,000 and fail in one day. There he's identifying how many people died in one day, right? And in Numbers it says, so the plague was stayed from the children of Israel, and those that died in the plague were 24,000. So this doesn't, in Numbers, it doesn't say in one day. It says how many died in the plague, how many total died in the plague. So, and I'm not declaring it's this way or that way. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't change my understanding or shake my confidence, but just simple little things like this throw people off. Yeah. Same thing when they read the message. Simple little things like that throw people off. Now back to John chapter 6, verse 27. Labor not. Now remember now, they come, they said, oh, Lord, how'd you get over here? All concerned about him, how'd you do this, what'd you do? And he said, you came because you got free food. You came because you ate. Labor not for the meat which perish, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Now he's going to give us this. He's going to give us this meat. He's telling us where it comes from, telling us what it'll do. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Now, notice how they're turning this thing. Once again, they're turning this thing. Now, he's telling them this meat, okay? So they're wanting to do the works. They're back to wanting to make that bread, okay? If you're not going to make this free bread for us, just tell us how to do it. Let us have these supernatural gifts. Let us be able to speak this food into existence and this drink into existence. Let us do these things. See? Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe. There it is. There's the work of God. People want to do something to glorify themselves, to empower themselves, to for whatever purpose it is, whatever's in their heart, they want to do something. Amen. He just wants you to believe. Just believe. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Right. If I'd have lived in Noah's day, he sent Noah. That's right. I would have believed on Noah. If I'd have been in Moses' day, my name would have been either Joshua or Caleb, because they're the only two that they believed on him that God sent. In this last day, or let's say the seventh church age, William Marion Branham, that was the one that God sent. And those that could believe him, those that could accept that voice, those that could believe that God was speaking through that tabernacle. And then when God came to that place and the church ages closed out, the church ages was finished, redemption was finished, and God was ready now to tear off, open that seventh seal. God was ready now to reveal himself in the bride. Amen. The bride is the only ones who can believe that. The bride is the only ones who can understand that. They're the only ones that can recognize the presence of God and the voice of God.
Amen.
That's where he is today. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." Now, that's going to come back up again, so just watch for it. "And they said, therefore, unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee, that thou, what doest thou work?" What doest thou work? Give us a sign. Show us something. So give us something that's going to make us believe. Do this, do that, do this. Come down off the cross. Verse 31. "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said, let's see, let me make sure I got this right. "They said therefore unto him," yep, "our fathers," now they're telling him, what are they doing? They're quoting the scripture. What did the serpent do? He quoted the scripture.
Right.
Even Eve corrected him one time. Corrected him. He said, "You can't eat of all the trees." He said, "Yeah." She said, "Yeah, you can. We can eat of all the trees. But the tree in the midst," signifying the difference. "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you." Now, remember who this is. It's the Word. And the Word is the discerner and thoughts of the intents. So, they're saying Moses gave us this bread. Now, he knows what they're thinking. And he's saying, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven. He gave you that natural manna, but that still came from God too. Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. But my Father giveth you, which bread?
True.
The true bread.
Amen.
Not that natural bread that would rot.
Right.
No, the true bread. The true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he, which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world.
Amen.
That's the difference. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. They're in one channel over here, and he's in another channel over here. They're not there. Brother Branham said that Jesus walked in a world all his own. Said he was in a totally another world. Said all these around him, they're talking one thing, and he was talking in a heavenly language. He was talking spiritual things. He was talking something they weren't comprehending. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. See? What did he tell them? Eat my flesh, drink my blood. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. That's right. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last days. This is the Father's will. That he's not going to lose one in any age. He wasn't going to lose none in Noah's day. He wasn't going to lose none in Moses' day. He wasn't going to lose none in Jesus' day. He was going to get every one. In this last day, he's not going to lose one. He's got every one of them right in his mind. That's where he wrote the book. Right in his mind is all right there. He's the book. He's the living book. You're part of that book. You're the same thing. Whatever he is, that's what you are. If he's the book, you're the book. See, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last days. See, and then they begin to... And the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Now we're going to skip some here to verse 48. Jesus said, I am that bread of life. They're having a hard time with this because they're in the same carnal channel that they were back in Moses' day. This is in the same place. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Huh? They eat the manna and they're dead. And now here he is, the living bread come down from heaven. And he's trying to feed them this bread and they're dead. They're the same condition that they were back there in the wilderness. They cannot receive it. They cannot understand it. They can't comprehend it. And they're going to just walk away. They're going to walk away. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven that a man may eat thereof and not die. See, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Oh, he's going too deep for him now. He's going way too deep for him. That's right. That's why it was only Joshua and Caleb. Only Joshua and Caleb could stand there and say, we're more than able. We're more than able. Why? What was their reasoning? They spent 40 days. They spent 40 days searching out the land. They went from this town, that town, village to village, town to town, 40 days. And then they got this bunch of grapes they put on a stick, and it took two men to carry them. And they brought back evidence of the land. And 10 of them immediately said, there's no way. There's no way. These people, we are grasshoppers in their eyes and in ours. Huh? That was their mistake. That was the difference. Now, Joshua and Caleb could have said, we are grasshoppers in their eyes, but not in our eyes. In our eyes, God made the promise and we are more than able to take this. Didn't matter how big they were. Didn't matter how strong they were. Didn't matter how great they were. None of that mattered. And you know what they did first? They agreed. They agreed that what they had seen And the fruits that they had brought back, they said, truly, this is a land of milk and honey. This is a land of plenty. This is everything that you said it was. But we don't believe all of the word. We believe everything else, and we even see it vindicated. We see it manifested here, but we don't believe everything you said because we are afraid to go. We're afraid to even attempt to fight those people. And Joshua and Caleb based it on one thing. God said. God promised. That's all. That was it. That was all it took for them. They didn't need for God to come show a sign. They didn't need for God to come do this. Don't come prove it to us, Lord. Show us what you can do. No. They had the word. They were eating the spiritual manna. None of the rest of them was eating spiritual manna. They were all eating natural manna, but these two were eating spiritual manna. They were eating the life. They were eating of God, of Christ. There was something on the inside that they were feeding on spiritually that made them agree and believe. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last days. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Wow, you just think, you take this naturally, and you're in a bad place. You're in a bad place. You got a bunch of cannibals. You are preaching a cannibal religion. That's what you're preaching. 56. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Boy, this isn't making it any easier for him. As the living Father hath sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. I live by him, you're going to live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Praise God. And these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Huh? There's that word here again. Yeah. Who can understand this? Yeah. Huh? Who can believe something like this? Yeah. Verse 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And let's just drop down to the end now. Then he challenges his 12 there. Who do you say that I am? And thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you remember when he asked them, said, who do men say that I am? I had forgot. It had been a long time since I read that, but I read it yesterday or today, this morning early, and where, you know, they said, when he said, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, they say that you're John the Baptist. Do you know who it was that said it was John the Baptist? It was Herod, the one who put John the Baptist to death. He was so upset. He liked John. And he listened to John, and he didn't want to do it. But he was trapped into it by the woman's daughter that came and danced before him. And then he offered her half of the kingdom. He thought, I'm fixing to marry this girl. What would you think about that? You think he ever offered her again? Surely not. It would take a pretty messed up guy to do that. She let him know that killing this guy was more important than half of your kingdom, having you as my husband. To me, that was a pretty big slap. That was a pretty big slap. But it broke his heart. And so when they heard about what Jesus was doing, he said, this is him. This is him raised from the dead. And that's where that rumor came from. It came from Herod. And others were saying other things, other prophets, different ones. So back in Christ, the mystery of God revealed, paragraph 264. Every one of them died in the wilderness. How many of them? Every one of them. Every one. And Jesus said they were eternally gone. Now, I always like to point out that Jesus did not use the word eternal. Jesus used a four-letter word, dead. He simply said, they're dead. But the prophet, with the divine interpretation of the word, said, in this scripture, in this particular scripture, the word D-E-A-D means eternally dead, eternally separated. That's the interpretation.
That's right.
See? Eternally gone, right after he had showed his blessings and power in their agency, like Luther, Wesley, and so forth, did he. See? After he had did what? After he had showed the power of God. After he had showed the presence of God. He said, they're dead. And they were testifying that they were dead also. because they were rejecting him, the living word. They were rejecting him, the bread that came down from heaven. Said, our fathers eat manna in the wilderness. He said, and they're everyone dead. That's eternal, separated from God. Their carcasses perished in the wilderness. See, they are dead. But I'm the bread of life that came down from God out of heaven. They couldn't see it. They just couldn't see it. That's right. With some of the scriptures we skipped through there, he said, and they walked with him no more. They walked with him no more. They walked away. That's where the 70 walked away. They're hearing this, and it's just too much for them to comprehend. 266. All right, church. All right, church has long forgotten it. They've accepted intellectual message, intellectuals, membership, knowledge, instead of the revelation of the truth of the word. That's right. Intellectuals. And any time, brother, sister, that we take our intellectual idea, we take our conception by what tradition has taught and what creed has taught and what dogma has taught for the last 2,000 years, any time we take that, then we die right there. We die right there. God is living. The Word is living. The Spirit comes in every age. It's living. It quickens the Word to the elect of that day. And they become the living Word. They become the manifestation of God in their day, in their age, to bring forth the promise of that day. That's what it is in every day. The only difference today is we have the fullness of it. They were, from Paul's day, they were losing it. They were, and you ever notice how little we say about those church ages? Huh? We talk about Paul's age, and we talk about Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. But the other three, we don't say too much at all. Very little is said. They were losing all the time. It was going down, going down, going down. They were losing the revelation. But then there was a resurrection. Then the word began to rise. The word began to be quickened again in the days of Luther and began to come forth. Brother Adam said there was a shoot that went up. And it showed there life. Here is some life. It wasn't the seed, but life. You know, when that blade comes up, you know there's life. If it turns yellow, you know it's dying. But when you see that green blade coming up, you know there's life there. And you just watch. As long as it continues to grow, you know. But it's got to be the original seed. It's got to be. I was thinking about that yesterday, thinking about that seed reproducing. And I can remember when we used to have a garden out here, and you know, here, all of the corn, the maize, it's hybrid. So you can't plant it. You can't save that seed. You can't take that corn and harvest it and dry it and plant it next year. And I can remember the first time that I seen it is one year, some of that old corn had dropped off on the ground. And so it just died. So the next spring, that corn, that hybrid corn from the year before, began growing. And it came up and it got about this high. And I thought, man, I got some free corn this year. This is just great. And actually, I read Brother Branham was talking about this. And he was talking about it turning brown. And so when it came up out of the ground, and I seen that it was corn. And so it started off, and then it divided, and it had a couple of blades. And it got about this high. And you know what happened? It started turning brown. It started dying right there. There wasn't no original seed in there. That germ wasn't in there to bring it all the way through. It was a hybrid. And what's wrong with a hybrid? It can't reproduce.
That's right.
It looked like it was going to reproduce, but it couldn't.
Yeah.
Brother Branham typed that with denominations. He said, you look, they come up and they're all beautiful and they make their beautiful buildings and they do this and they do that. And he said, what happens immediately? They start turning brown.
That's right.
Death. It starts dying right there.
Amen.
All right, church. The church has long forgotten. They accepted intellectual message. Intellectuals, membership, Knowledge instead of the revelation. Huh? Knowledge instead of the revelation of the truth of the word. Now look here. They say today, do you believe that God commissioned us to go into all the world and heal the sick, preach the gospel, cast out devils? Oh, yes, I suppose that's right. You see, a lady talking to me the other day, and I mentioned this just recently. So she said, well, all the churches are in harmony. And how many times I'm sure some of you have had this happen. I've had it many times because traveling to other countries. How many times has a brother in the message told you, brother, we all believe the same thing? I just wish that was true. I just wish it was true. It's not true. It's not true. Balaam and Moses did not believe the same thing. Fundamentally, they were the same. And you can say that. Fundamentally, we all believe, we're all reading out of the same books, we all believe the same prophet, we all believe all that. But there's a difference. Brother Branham said the difference, what Balaam couldn't see, what Balak couldn't see, was the king in the camp. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That was the difference. Yep. That was the only difference. It wasn't nothing that Moses could do. It wasn't nothing that Balaam could do. It was what God did.
That's right.
God was in the camp of Israel. Amen. God was in the pillar of fire. God was in the cloud. God was leading them and God was guiding them.
That's right.
The same thing. Right there. Right there in Jesus' day, the same thing was taking place. He had a little handful of people, and he spoke to everybody else in a parable so that he could hide the revelation, hide the presence of God, hide the coming of the Messiah. He hid the coming of the Messiah. He spoke to them in such ways that it kept them doubting that this could possibly be the one that was to come.
Amen.
He had just enough scripture going this way and that way. One scripture said he's from Nazareth. One said he's come out of Egypt. One said he's from somewhere else. And that's how they divided up. One group said he's coming from here. And one group said he's coming from there. All of them had a scripture. So do they today. One is coming on a cloud. One is coming on a white horse. One is coming another way. It's always that way. And the elect just, as the prophet said it, she just quiet until she has, thus saith the Lord. And he gives it to her. He reveals it to her. He does it every time. That's what he did with Moses. That's what he did with Joshua. That's what he did with Caleb. He revealed it to them. The rest of them? No. 2 million people died. In Noah's day, all the rest of the world died. A lady talking to me the other day, she said, well, all the churches are in harmony. I said, there isn't one of them in harmony with the other one. How's that for a difference of opinion?
Amen.
Huh? Two Christians, both of them Christians. She's a churchgoer. Here's the prophet. She said they're all in harmony. He said there's not one of them in harmony.
That's right.
Said there isn't one of them in harmony with the other. There's the Catholic standing there. I said, how about you? You're a Methodist, and that's a Catholic. Are you in harmony with one another? I said, this Pope come here to unite them together. That's a good thing. For all that kind of people. Yeah, it's a good thing. But they still don't agree in their doctrine. It doesn't matter how much they all come back into the fold. It doesn't matter how much they're bound. Those tares are bound together. It doesn't how much they have a World Council of Churches. It doesn't matter all of those things that they, in whatever way, symbolically or whatever way they want to say that they're all together, they're all to believe the same. They don't believe the same thing. No. You get in one church, you just go to any church. You go to the Methodist church down here, and you just start through the church and ask every single one of them. You find a subject, and you start asking them, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? What do you think about this? And they're going to have different opinions. And they're all out of the same. And you say, well, it's the same thing in the message. That's true. But where it's not true is in the seed.
That's right.
In the elect. She is only focused on one thing. Just like Joshua and Caleb, he was focused on one thing. He didn't look at the giants. He didn't look at the sons of Anak. He didn't look at the how big they were and how fortified they were and their cities were walled and how hard it would have been to do it. He looked at one thing, and that was the promise of God. He knew that the king was in the camp. He knew that God was with them. That's the bride. That's the difference in the bride. I've visited some of these churches. I've been to some of their meetings. I've seen the prayer lines. I've seen them jump and shout. I've seen them pass out and fall out on the floor. And I don't have anything to say. I don't have any criticism for none of that. But the king in the camp is going to manifest the word of the age.
Amen.
That's what he is going to produce. That's what she is going to produce.
Amen.
She can't do anything else. She's not going back and trying to live in another age. She's not trying to go back and manufacture or produce something else. The reason they do that, and I've believed this for many years, the reason they do that is because they fail to recognize the presence of God in this day. So the only way to make themselves relevant, the only way to make themselves feel like that they're one with God is if they go back to another age and they try to reproduce that age. And that's the reason why. You look in the churches now. You take for the last, I don't know about Kenya, but I do for maybe the last 20 years. But you look what it was 40 years ago, 30 years ago. What was it that took place that almost every service? There was an altar call at the end of the service. Is that right? There was always an altar call at the end of the service. You were trying to get them to come to repent or to renew their life or to renew their vows or whatever it was. You don't see that anymore, except maybe in a nominal church here and there. You see very little of that. But some of the churches now are trying to get back there. They're trying to get. I'm not criticizing it. I'm not criticizing it. You, whatever God leads you to do, you go do it. I'm just telling you that we are living in the manifestation of Jesus Christ in his bride. We are not living in redemption as they knew it in the seven church ages. We're not living under that. The seven church ages are finished. Anybody who doesn't believe that or doesn't understand that by now, in 40 years, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, you were an oddball. You were rejected if you declared the church ages were over. If you declared that 20 years ago, people were like, no, that's not true. And there's still people that don't believe that. There's still people that don't believe. But if you don't believe it now, then you're probably never going to believe it. Because we're so far past that.
Amen.
You know, and what's amazing is, and this goes back to what I was saying a while ago about the revelation growing. 20, 30 years ago, then, you know, we had a handful of quotes that said, it's over, the church ages are over, this is over, this is over. Now, as this thing has unfolded, and now there's thousands of people, and now we have the search engine, and now we have all that, now, it's like the scripture said, there is such a cloud of witness.
Yes.
There's such a witness that you can look in every single message, almost, and he tells you it's over, that we're living in another day, that we're living in the time of the manifestation of Jesus Christ in his bride.
Amen.
Not what it was back there in the church ages. That was that's another thing. He made absolutely clear that in the church ages was that which was in part. And he said, when that which is perfect is come. And now, you can argue it. You can say, no, that's going to happen over there. No, but he said, that which is perfect has come.
Right.
Not it's going to come. There's even people that are deep in this message that still got that idea,
right,
that is out there, that it's not being manifested. They don't see Jesus Christ manifested in people. He is manifested. His wife has been born again by the word of this day. She is the living, living, breathing manifestation of Jesus Christ on the earth. 100%. The problem with those people are they're looking for veils of flesh that are perfect. They're like robots. They do everything exactly right. They walk right. They talk right. They can't make any mistakes. No. You make mistakes every day. Do you believe that prophet was the manifestation of God? Do you believe that God was incarnated in that prophet? He said, I make mistakes every day. People are looking with an intellectual idea of what it's going to be. No, it's going to be in simplicity. It's going to be a humble little group of people, and I don't like saying it like that. It's going to be humble individuals all over the world. Every nation, every tongue, every kindred. Not a group like this group, but a group, the body of Jesus Christ, scattered around the world. Paragraph 270. But the church of God has nothing to do with it. With what? Those denominations? With those intellect? With those man-made ideas? With those creeds and those traditions? But the church of God has nothing to do with it. Not a thing. It's out from the whole bunch. Right. Yes, sir. That's right. You want to unite together, that together, and one believes in something and the other. Methodist takes sprinkling, Baptist takes immersion, and both of them denying the Holy Ghost in its what? Fullness. Fullness of the power. Not in partial power, in the fullness of its power. They said, we receive the Holy Ghost when we believe. The Bible says, since you believe. The Bible said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? See? There's the difference. See? That's right. And they say, well, we're Catholic Church. We started early. We were the first ones. We did this. This is the Methodists. We're based upon the Bible. Jesus said, these signs. Listen now. This is coming back to what they ask him. Remember what they ask him about the works? What can we do to do the works of God? These signs shall follow them that believe. Now, where is it at? Now, that's my whole point right there. And I didn't even think about it. That's the whole point. Where is it at? Amen. It's in that group that believe. People are looking for supernatural. They're looking for healings. They're looking for the prophecies. They're looking for doing this and doing that and plucking the tree up and moving the mountain. All of that's fine. That's just fine. Go do it. But you, when you're the one that you think you're going to do it, you've missed it.
That's right.
You've missed it. This is a body, and this body is surrendered.
Yes, sir.
It's a prisoner. It's a prisoner that he has the preeminence in. And him having the preeminence in, I don't even get to think about, I want to do this or I want to do that. All I get to do is surrender.
That's right.
And he just leads you. And he moves you this way and that way. And you just, you're every day, there's something going on in your life. You're believing what he said. You're believing every word of what he said. Not just going so far and stopping and so far and stopping, taking some of this and some of that, a little over here, a little over there. No, that's not how it is at all. You believe every word. Every word's important to you. You've talked to people. Every one of us. We've talked to people that are so sincere and they're so dedicated and they so love the world. They so believe this message. Part of it. Absolutely. They can just be dogmatic. Just be, I believe it, believe it, believe it. Part of it. And you just bring one other side. And there's plenty you can throw out there if you want to stir the pot. You just bring some of those things that are controversial. You bring some of those things that are different than their their idea. And all of that, I love the prophet, I believe the prophet, I believe the message, all of that, it's they sidestep.
Yep.
I believe this. That doesn't work with God.
Amen.
You don't get that luxury. You don't get that choice. You don't get none of that. You get one thing. Just keep following Him.
Yes.
The leading. Keep following Him.
That's right.
He has the preeminence. You don't get a say-so.
Amen.
274, Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe. Remember, then they come to Jesus in John 6, 28, 29. That's what they said. Show us a sign. Give us a sign. We want to know. We want to see. We want to believe. And Jesus saying, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, where's it at? See? Yeah. The works that I do shall you do also. What's the works of God? That's the key. He told us. They asked, what do we do to do the works? He said, the works of God is to believe on Him whom the Father sent.
Amen.
What did Jesus do? He believed on Him. He believed on the one who sent Him. He said, I can't do anything except He shows me. You can't do anything except He shows you.
That's right.
That's the works of God. You say, well, I'm going to speak this into existence if He shows you. I'm going to heal this if He shows you. I'm going to prophesy if He shows you. He will move you by His Spirit and by His Word. He's able to do that. That's not any problem for God whatsoever. But He's not going to do what you're dreaming about doing. Huh? All those dreams you got about being, especially preachers, we're the worst. We want to be, boom. We want to raise the dead. We want to heal the sick. We want to do this. We want to do that. Most powerful preacher. Huh? You see that in the Bible? Anywhere? Do you see that anywhere in the Bible? It's not there. No. That's the other side. Who's the bright shining light? That was Lucifer. Huh? He was the shiny angel. Where was humility? In Moses. In Christ. That's right. It's always that way.
Yep.
When you see the big flashy thing, if you see two different things, you see something humble and you see something great, your chances of knowing which one is closer to right, it's going to be the humble.
Yep.
That's right. The works that I do shall you do also. Every creature, see, every person that believes in Him, now where's it at? Now where's it at? That's how I want to see it. Where's it at?
That's right.
That's why I see it. Because I see people that believe all of the Word.
Amen.
I don't see perfect vessels. I don't see people that don't make mistakes. I don't see people that they say everything right and they do everything right. No, I see people that believe every word of God.
Amen.
Their whole life is tied up in this. Their whole life is buried in Him. Everything. They don't have any choice. They're just, He has the preeminence in them. Where's it at? That's His words. Heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall never fail. See? Now, where's it at? See? Oh, it just shows. It just shows. Why could that prostitute see Him? And those priests couldn't see Him? There was something on the inside that could believe. There wasn't anything inside them that could believe. No, there wasn't. What is it? It's a hybrid condition. See? Look here. You take a big fine grain of corn that's hybrid, and you take that hybrid corn, it's a pretty corn. Like you plant it, what do you get? A little stalk comes up like this, turns yellow, and wilts down. This is what made me think of the garden years and years ago, long, long ago. Because I guess just like those guys that was wanting that free food and they thinking about the loaves and the fishes. And I thought, here, I have some corn that I didn't have to plant. It's just, I got, and there was a bunch of little things coming up. And I thought, this is just wonderful. I said, I didn't have to plant it. I didn't have to do no work. I didn't have to do anything. I got corn coming up. And it just turned brown. That's right. That's that hybrid. It's just that hybrid. That's the way every denomination is. When it's hybrid with man's word mixed with God's words, it'll come up to the, listen to what he's saying. It'll come up to the signs and wonders and what Jesus said about believing the word, and then it turns yellow. Huh? Oh, it might speak with tongues, then it turns yellow. It might say, I believe the prophet, then it turns yellow. It might say, I believe the message, then it turns yellow. Huh? It's got to take every bit of it. It's got to go all the way. You don't get any points. You don't get any points for 99%. It's 100% or not. See, it turns yellow and says, we can't accept it. And it goes back. That's right. Just like all them other spies did that went over and looked at Canaan. They come over there and said, oh, we look like grasshoppers aside of them. We can't take them. The Amalekites, see, all these, what they're going to do? And they went back. And Caleb and Joshua being thoroughbreds. I like that. Thoroughbreds, amen, by the word of God, knowed God. And I give you that. I give you that land. Said, we're more than able to take it. That's right. Amen. Praise be to God. You know, this made me think of all the horses that we used to have in the neighborhood. And there was, I don't think we had any thoroughbreds, but we had some registered. Of all the horses we had, a couple of them were registered. Two, maybe three, I don't know. You know, that's nothing but a piece of paper. You know, you can register a hybrid. You can register a hybrid. You can take a quarter horse and it's four different kinds all mixed together and this and that, and they mix them all together, you know, and you put it on paper and register it, and it looks real good. It says, well, the mothers and the dad, and the, you know, the line all the way down. Looks real good. But it's not a thoroughbred. It's not an original. All of those are bred from an original. That's where they started. And they started trying to make it better. You know, and some of it looks really good. I always did like the down in Florida where I went to high school. They mixed an Angus cow with a Brahma bull, and they called it Brangus. And they were beautiful. I just thought they were beautiful. And they had, and what they said, the meat plum to the hawk. I mean, they had so much meat on them, and they got so big, and they were just really, really something. But it still is a mix. You just keep mixing it and mixing it and mixing it. Caleb and Joshua being thoroughbreds, amen, by the word of God. Knowed, God said, I give you that land. And they said, we're more than able to take it. That's right. Now, this is Numbers 13 here. Oh, this is that, and I'm going to just read a couple of verses, I think. But this is that story. I put it in here. I'm going to read verse 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And let's just drop down here. You can read this later if you like. Actually, no, I didn't put that all in there. It's only about 4 or 5. Let's just read it. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all of the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it. This is the evidence. There's no doubt what you said. It's all true, and here this proves it. Yep. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. And he said, let us go up at once. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. And possess it. For we are able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it were men of great stature. The land, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants. Do you know when this country was being the migration, when they first come, everybody was on the East Coast. It was the New England states, and it slowly trickled down the coast and all of those states that are on the West. And so until they had the Louisiana Purchase and they begin to move westward, I read some stories that the people were used to, being the mountains were in the distance and it kind of was something there, and then how it was on the coast. But said when those people began traveling westward and they got out into Montana and to some of those places, I can't think of all of the states right there, maybe Kansas, some of those other places, they said it was just wide open. It was just wide open. They never seen so much sky because it was just, you could just see for miles and miles and miles. And it said it was so vast and so great that people were just intimidated by it. And there were actually people that went back east to get back in their cities and in their groups because this land was so vast and so great. And that's even they named Montana, Montana Sky. Isn't it some, there's some saying there, I think it's on their tags, on their vehicles. Something about the sky, but it's so vast. And the grasslands was just as far as they could see. When they got to those prairies and to those grasslands, it was so vast. It just eat up the inhabitants. They were just like little pebbles, those little sands on the shoreline. And so it was so great. And this is what's in these people's minds. 33, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so were in their sight. And so we were in their sight. Not only in their sight, in our sight, we were grasshoppers. Just some reason, sometimes when I'm reading, I'm studying, I click on those words. And so actually I was searching. I went looking for some scripture on a certain scripture, and I used the word grasshopper to find it. And so I ran across the scripture. I don't know if you all knew this or not, but in the Old Testament, and I think it's in Leviticus. I don't remember now. I just passing through. I think it's in Leviticus. God was telling them all of what they could eat and what they couldn't eat. And so, it had swine in there and different things. It said, you can't eat this and you can't eat that. And certain birds you can't eat. These you can eat, these you can't eat. But it had about three different kinds of grasshoppers and locusts. And he said, you can eat all of them. They're all good for food. So, you don't have to feel bad about it. In Uganda, there's a season, and it's a festival. I mean, and that's all it is. It's not like they have a carnival and rides and all this, but it's just the streets are lined up, and they stand up these tin sheets like you'd put on. They call them iron sheets for the house. They stand up these tin sheets. And then they put these floodlights on them to keep them active. And you're going down through there, and they're just screaming. The noise that crickets make, the chirping, chirping, chirping. And they're just, all of them are selling these crickets and grasshoppers. And so it is a big thing. I mean, it's a big thing. And you just get a little bag full of them. You know, they pay so much money to get a bag full of them and talk about happy. I mean, you would think you was eating steak or something. It was just really good. It depends on where you're born from. Oh, there's the thing. See? Joshua and Caleb were thoroughbreds, amen? By the word of God, knowed God, said, I give you that land. And they said, we're more than able. See, it depends on where you're born from. If you're born of the word of God, God's word has the preeminence in his church. See? And that's what he died for. That's his purpose. That he might be able to achieve to have his preeminence working in his church. That's right. And I ran across some, I don't know what made me get off on it, but I've been thinking about this preeminence a lot. And so something caught my attention in Genesis, where God, when God created man, in Genesis 1, when he created spirit man, God said twice, and I think it's somewhere right around verse 26 to 29, somewhere in there. He says twice. He gave them dominion. God created man. He put him over all the earth. He put him over everything on the earth. And he said, he gave them dominion over the earth. These two words are not that far apart. If you look at them, you look at the meanings, the definitions, they're not that far apart. To have the preeminence over something and have the dominion over something. There's a little bit of differences there, but it's not so much. God put man over the earth. God put man over all of the earth. All of it. And that's what Adam had. He had complete dominion over all the earth. And Brother Branham said that he lost that. He also said that he had eternal life, and he lost that. Which the interesting thing is, how can you lose something that has no beginning and no ending? Right? So if there's eternal life there, so how did he lose it? He had it in that veil of flesh. It was living in that veil of flesh that would never die. That veil of flesh was, the body is made to renew itself. The body is not made to die. The cells are renewing themselves every day, millions and millions. All of that is just redoing. They can't explain why you get old. You when you get to your prime, you begin to go the other way. Sometime in your 20s, you begin to go the other way. That's because of the fall. That's because of the curse. If it wasn't for that, this body would just keep going, keep renewing itself, renewing itself, renewing itself. That's how perfect it is. That's how it's made. That eternal life, we have it. We're not going to get it one day. Brother, sister, we have it. Amen. It's already dwelling on the inside. Yes, because it's him. Amen. Adam lost his fellowship. We've got it back. Amen. We've got it back. Brother Branham said, Calvary made the way for that to come again. And now he's completed redemption. He's completed all of that. He's revealed all the mysteries of all that he had in his mind. And that, you know, Brother Gumbo's brought those messages on the book. And it's making me think now every time I talk about the book, I'm almost not wanting to use the word book. Because it's you. It's him. It's him. That's what it is. If it's him, then it's you. You're the same thing. You are him on the earth today. And it just doesn't, it doesn't go, it doesn't make sense that God has a book up there. No. He has this book somewhere, and inside of it he wrote down all these names. He said, David wanted to build him a temple, and he said, for me to dwell in? He said, the earth is my footstool. What are you going to build me? You can't build anything. You can't build anything big enough even for my foot. No. Think about it. I would keep reading that about the throne, sitting on the Father's throne.
Yeah.
Then he's going to take his throne.
Yeah.
You keep reading it in that carnal ideal, and you're going to have two or three thrones.
Yeah.
You're going to have two or three thrones.
Mm-hmm.
And then if he's sitting on a throne, then is it something that he built, something that he made?
Mm-hmm.
What's it made out of? I want to bring a message on that, because there's too many things that we have in our carnal, in the intellectual side that we are thinking about, and it's not that way at all. It's not that way at all. Jesus was sitting on the right hand of power, and the bride, he's taken his throne. Brother Adam said, he left the Father's throne to take his throne. Where is he at now? Brother Branham said his throne now is in the heart
right.
of the bride.
Yes,
that's right. The throne.
Amen.
That's the throne.
Yep.
It's not like this chair. It's not like some big something. No, it's on the inside.
Amen.
That's where the power is.
Right.
That's where the life is.
Yes,
it's sitting on the throne. It's that soul. It's that eternal life that's living in you. That's where the power is. That's where the life is. That's where the manifestation is coming from.
Yes,
it depends on where you're born from, see? If you're born of the Word of God, God's Word has the preeminences in His church. That's what He died for. That's His purpose, that He might be able to achieve, to have His preeminence working in His church. And let the Word of God shine forth first. No matter what anything else looks like, I don't care if the intellectual says this, that, or the other. It has nothing to do with it. God's Word said so. We are more than able to take it. I love it. If I preach that in my church, a minister told me, said, I'd be preaching to four posts in the church. I said, I'll preach to that. Yes, sir. God's Word said so. You can't do it, see? God said, do it. Amen. And this is actually the quote. I mentioned this, how far behind, how slow I'm going, a few weeks ago when I was talking about that man that God called him to preach, and he came, and nobody came to the church. And he went in there and he preached his message with nobody in the church. And this is what Brother Branham was talking about. And it's what made me think of that story there. And the drunk was underneath the building and heard every word of it and fell under conviction and came out. And there God got a seed. Praise be to God. Let's see. I got just a few more quotes. Let's see if we can maybe finish this here. Paragraph 281. Oh, yeah, they excuse themselves by this. See, that's why they're blind to the message of the end time. That's why they're blind to the message of the end time, this last days, when God is proving himself. They try to class it as some kind of a spiritus, or some, oh, what would I call it, some mental illusion or something on that order. See, they try to make it something like that. See, it isn't. They try to make it like something that it is. I'm sorry, I'm stumbling all over here. Just like they did when he was here. When Jesus was here, they called him Beelzebub, a fortune teller. Now they say it's kind of like mental telepathy, see? When they know that he could stand there and look upon the people and discern the very thoughts that's in the heart. The Bible said so, see? Well, does not Hebrews the 4th chapter say, the word of God is quicker and sharper than a two-edged sword and can discern the very thoughts of the mind. And he was that word. And when that word is preeminence in the man, the same thing takes place again. For it is the word. Huh? Are you getting it?
Amen.
See how you can stumble over this from now on. There it is so perfectly plain. See? That's right. That's why they're blind. Same as it was in the days Christ was on the earth. Oh my, they stagger the same way. They said, he's Beelzebub. They seen he could do it. So they said, he was born illegitimate child. Kind of an odd fellow. He just got possessed with some devil. He's a Samaritan over there. He's got a devil in him. See, that's how he does it. Can you imagine? God manifesting himself. The power of God right in front of him. Jesus said, I'll forgive you for that. See, calling the word of God, the works of God, an evil spirit. He said, I'll forgive you for that, but someday the Holy Ghost will come and one word against it will never be forgiven. Neither in this world or the world that is to come or that great day. It will not be forgiven. So you see, it's written plain in the scriptures. Oh, my brother, sister, this day, when the fullness has come and they speak against it, they seal their doom. When people come to that day, no matter how intellectual, how big a denomination they belong to, it's condemned. They have to be. They're blasphemed the Holy Ghost, calling it a holy roller, something another like that. See, it had an untasty name or something like that. God's church had to bear it all the time. See, even Paul before Agrippa. He said, in a way that's called heresy, which means crazy. That's the way I worship the God of my fathers. That great intellectual scholar had to come to that place in the way that's called heresy. That's right. Why? It was revealed to him. That pillar of fire hanging before him. I am Jesus, the great God that was in the wilderness yonder with Moses. I'm he. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And then Paul standing there, know that life was laying at stake. He said, the way that's called heresy, that's the way that I worship the God of our fathers. It was called that because it was revealed to him what the great truth of Christ was. Praise be to God. This is the same, brothers and sisters. This is where you're at. This is what's taking place in you. This is what's happened to you. The people think it's crazy. The people think you're crazy. The people think it's heresy. They'll tell you that. And then they can stand there with purple hair and dress like something terrible and tell you they're a different sex than what they are. Or tell you they're something else. Tell you that they're a dog or a cat. You know, just when you think it can't get worse. Just when you think it can't get worse. We used to think it can't get worse than the homosexuals. You know, back in the 60s, Brother Branham said homosexuality was increased by 40% a year in California in the 60s. You go there now and just look. You see it on, you just see it on the street. You see it everywhere. You're going to be an oddball. My wife and I went to the New England states a few years ago, and we went to, I think it was Providence. The island. We went by boat. Actually, I think you can get there. Can you get there by car? Yeah, if you drive around. It's a long ways around. So, but you can take a boat straight across. They have a ferry that goes all day long. And so an electrician friend of mine that I worked with said, we're going to go. We're going up there and see. And so we thought we'd just go over there because just the boat ride and all that. And so he said, okay. He said, yeah. He said, you'll really like it. He said, it's a really cool place. It's really nice. He said, but he said, you and your wife will be an oddball. Yeah. And we got over there and we found out that I think every business, it must be a qualification to own a business there. You have to be gay. Yeah. And so they had some, you know, art shops and whatnot. And that's just how it was, just everywhere. We were looking for a place to eat, and so they had places on both sides of the street, you know, old houses, they made them restaurants and stuff. And so at one point in time, we separated. We didn't separate, but she was on that side of the street, and I was on this side of the street, and we were looking at the menus, and we were looking for something. I don't remember what it was. I don't know. Anyway, so they had one house had a host out there, and this guy is saying, I'm reading the menu, and he's saying, can I help you? And I said, no, I'm just reading the menu. And he says, can I help you with anything at all? And I'm like, no, I'm okay. But he just, the way he said it, with anything at all, I'm like, no. 290. It's Jesus Christ, the new birth, revealed in you. What is it? It's Jesus Christ, the new birth, revealed in you, that he has the preeminences, that he might express his words and anything that he's promised in the last days. Oh, I like that. All of his word, anything for this last day, anything, any promise for this time, he's got the preeminences to do it in you, to manifest it in you. And anything that he's promised in the last days, he can bring it to pass. How? Through his body as he's working. Amen. It's just exactly the word of God made manifest. Notice, all right, that's what you are. The word of God made manifest. Same as in the days of Christ, God holds the key to this revelation of Christ himself. See, you believe that? Schools of theology can never find it. Jesus said, if you want to read it now, Matthew 11, 25 and 27, I thank thee, O Father, God of heavens and earth, that thou hast hid this from the eyes of the wise and the prudent and revealed it to babes such as would learn. See? So that's right. Look at them scholars of that day. Those Jews, very fine men. There are organizations of Pharisees and Sadducees, Herodians, whatever they might be. See? All their great organizations. And Jesus said, you are blind. You lead the blind. He just got done telling them that all their fathers were eternally lost. And now he's telling them, you're blind. Well did Isaiah speak of you. You have ears and you can't hear and eyes you can't see. Because Isaiah said, this is the Spirit. He said this in the Spirit. Therefore, the God of heaven has blinded your eyes. You're doing like Eve did, accepting the intellectual side and know nothing of the Spirit of God. Brother, sister, we need to die to that intellectual side every day, every day. Every time it rises up, get it down. Let one thing, let it be the Spirit of God that is moving you. Therefore, won't they all fall in the ditch, both the leader and the blind too? See, the leader will fall with the blind, because he's blind also. And the leader fall, that's blind. Leading the blind, they both fall in the ditch. That's right. Praise be to God. All right, we just got a couple more. 293. God alone holds this key. He expressed the same thing in a previous scripture there a while ago when I read it. When he said, who does man say I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonas. Flesh and blood never revealed this to you. My Father, which is in heaven, see, he's the one who's revealed it to you. Upon this revelation here alone, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell never prevail against it, see. Now you see. So therefore, there is no school, no theologians, no teachings of the Bible among any school that knows anything about it. They cannot know nothing about it. It's impossible for them to know anything about it. God has hid the senses of knowing it from the very elected teachers and everything. It's a personal, individual affair with the person that Christ has revealed to them. Your education means no. I was telling somebody yesterday, I've worked for a lady that is plays one of those big pipe organs, you know, for the Presbyterian Church. She's a master. She's a master of music. She got her master's in music in college. And she plays there for the Presbyterian Church in Davison College. And so I was talking to her one day, and we talk a good bit. But anyway, she told me, she said, you know, our ministers, they have to know and speak Hebrew and the Greek. She said they have to know both languages in order to be a minister in the Presbyterian Church so that they can they can break this thing down so they know that the what the root word was, and they can bring it up to the English themselves and have all of that. Brother Branham said, God hides it from the smartest, from the greatest, from the geniuses, from all of that. He hides it right there. And he can take somebody that has no education. You don't have to have an education for this. You don't have to have a high IQ. You don't have to know how to be a master at language. You know that you don't have to. You do not have to know how to read. You don't have to know how to read. You can get this without reading. That's right, because faith comes by hearing the word, and you can hear this preached, or you can hear the voice of God bringing the message. And God will quicken it to you what it is, what is truth. And he said, these men, genius professors, said they can study this thing their whole life. They can dedicate their whole life to this and never see it. Never see him in that word. Never see him. And there's been plenty that have done it. You look at some of these Bibles that these men have put together. And even back before they had, we had the computers, before they had these, had all of this, you got now on your phone, you have the Bible and you can search for anything, any scripture, anything you want, just like the message. They didn't have that. And these men put out these Bibles with these study helps. They spent their whole lifetime making that Bible or translating it into another language. A whole lifetime. And even that, as good as it is, as wonderful, as many people as it might help, that will not do it in itself.
That's right.
It won't do it. See, it's impossible for them to know anything about it. God has hid the senses of knowing it from the very elected teachers and everything else. Huh? The elected teachers. That's right. Even if you are a genuine seed of God, elect of God, it's hid from you. God has to reveal it. God has to reveal it. Not even the elect is going to dig in there and figure it out. Nobody's going to figure it out. God is going to reveal it. That is God's way that he had in his mind. It's a personal, individual affair with the person that Christ has revealed to them. And if you say, he's been revealed to me, and then the life that Christ produced here in the Bible, that same life is in him, does not produce itself in you, then you got the wrong revelation.
That's right.
Amen. You got the wrong revelation. Amen. Praise be to God. Oh my. No, when he comes in, you know he's there. You know it's him leading you. You know sometime you want to turn this way, but he tells you to turn this way.
Amen.
You know sometime you want to go another way, but he tells you. He leads you and guides you in all things. He knows how to do it. He knows how to do it. He knows when you was just a child, he put you right where he wanted you. And he's been leading you the whole time. Even when you didn't know nothing, even when he was moving your parents to get you where he wanted you. Then when you became old enough and got on your own, he knew how to move you the direction he wanted you to go. When my dad was military, and I was born in Georgia, and we moved to the West Coast, and we come back. We lived in Memphis in Tennessee. We lived in Baltimore. We traveled across the country. We went back to California. We lived on the coast there and on military base. Lived there for many years up to the eighth grade, and then moved all the way back to the East Coast in Florida, and went to finish school there in the 9th to the 12th. God, moving me. He did you the same way. He was moving you. You say, oh, I just lived in the same place my whole life. That's where he wanted you. That's where he wanted you. So when he got ready to reveal himself, the right person was going to be there that had to speak it so that you would hear it, so that he would quicken it.
Amen.
God, he put it together before the foundation of the world. Every bit of it was perfect. And every one of them was, he's a God of variety. And he has every one of them just the way he wants. God is so great, so perfect. It's all. We're so blessed. We are so blessed in this age. And when we see the way things are shaping up, we see what's happening in the politics. We see what's happening in the churches. We see what's happening in the revelation. If you're listening to preachers preach this, and this is something that I'm seeing as a minister, I'm seeing ministers getting deeper and deeper and deeper in this revelation. And when we first started on the mission field, I didn't know very many people, and most of who we went to, we were introducing the message, so naturally, they didn't know very much at all. Then, of course, in Kenya, they were more advanced, but now it's totally different now than it was 20 years ago. You look at, there's many, many preachers that are very deep. They're getting deeper and deeper in this revelation. And when you see that, you know something's happening. And that means that instead of however many God had, say he had 1,000 preachers out there with a little bit of depth, and now he's got 10,000 with some depth, more depth, that work gets faster and faster and faster. It's getting out there. It's spreading. It's getting more into those little places that never heard it. And he said it would be a short, quick work. Well, that work's been going on for a while now. It's been going on. And so we want to just continue to surrender to him. We're going to ask you to stand together with us. I'm going to ask Brother Richard if he'll come and dismiss us in a word of prayer. And may the Lord bless you, each one.
Appreciate you, brother.
God bless you.
Amen.
I appreciate the word. I hope everybody did. I'm thankful to be here in fairly good health. And let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, Father, Lord, you spoke to us and we're so happy about it. I know everybody was fed. If you weren't fed, you weren't listening. Lord, I know that you care for us because you gave us your word. Ask now, Lord, you be with each one in the sound of your word, Lord, and bless your word as it goes forth. Lord, I ask that you bless our pastor now, Lord. Give him rest for his body. Give him more revelation as it comes forth to him, Lord. Let him feed us again, Lord. Let him submit himself to you, Lord, and as we submit ourselves to your word. Ask now that you go to each one now. Go with them. Let that word and just go deep in our heart, Lord, and feed us as we go along our way, Lord, knowing that you actually talk to us through your word. Be thankful now, Lord. Be thankful for each one here in the sound of your voice, Lord. I ask that you be with us as we go through this week coming, Lord. Give us strength, Lord, to stand tall in the word. We ask now in the precious name of Jesus Christ.